This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth. It's good to be with you, and I'm back in the good old USA. It's good to be back here. I've been meeting with some people already since I've been back in Mandeville. I'm still a little bit tired. It's an incredible trip from Eastern Europe to come back to the United States. It's amazing. I left at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, and I arrived home approximately, in terms of Eastern European time, about almost 9 o'clock in the morning again, about 7 o'clock in the morning. So it's really kind of an amazingly long trip. In fact, the air flight itself into the United States directly from Eastern Europe was over 11 hours long. There were some headwinds, but we made it back, and it's good to be back home in many ways. It's amazing to see some of the devastation that's back here. I wanted to come a lot earlier. Of course, I had my doctoral dissertation, and I had a number of other appearances I already had scheduled, but it's sad to see some of the devastation in my home area, and there's some considerable damage to my property here, and so to our office, and so we're gonna have to do some work to get everything cleaned up and repaired and back into working order. And I'm gonna spend the next few days, you know, working hard to get that done. I also we've got to work very hard to get our publications back in shape, and our printer's been down. Our power just came on again last Monday. We have full phone service now again, thank goodness. We have internet, but at my house, the internet was working, and I guess it's not working. I think they're still working on getting it going properly in the area. So I had to run over to the local CC's Coffee House, which is kind of a typical New Orleans kind of coffee shop. It's very good French market style coffee. New Orleans has some of the best coffee in the world. In fact, when the Hurricane Katrina came in, about 18% of the world's stock of coffee went down. I mean, this is a fact. It went down because about 18% of the world's coffee is in the warehouses in New Orleans, and it caused coffee prices to spike up dramatically. That's kind of interesting. But we make some good coffee down here, and I know how to make a very, very good cup of coffee. I read recently that coffee is, in fact, the greatest single source of antioxidants in the American diet by far. I mean, way out in front. And believe it or not, I do believe this, that coffee overall is a very good health drink. Now, you shouldn't drink too much of anything. It does have some caffeine in it. But coffee has been shown to be anti-cancer in many ways. It's certainly against colon cancer, we know for sure. Maybe other forms of cancer. It's strongly antioxidant in terms of its properties. And it's also been shown to be a very strong natural preventative of diabetes and other conditions. Pretty interesting stuff. But anyway, so I'm glad to be back home and trying to get back in the saddle, back to work, and try to, of course, not that I don't work in Eastern Europe, but it's a different kind of work that I've got to do here. So I'm putting the Duke Report to bed today. It's going to the printer. And printer is back up, so hopefully we'll have this in the mail about next week. I'm seeing to it that the rest of the DVDs get mailed, and so many of the orders that we have holding here in the office, and also just trying to fix up the financial situation here, because we've had no mail going out, obviously, in the last month and a half, 2 months. We've had very little money in. We didn't even get a lot of our mail to begin with from the storm. I guess some of it was destroyed. I don't know. It was held up. It might still be held up in some ways because New Orleans was a distribution location, so we're fighting that, and we're dealing with that the best we can. But it's good to communicate with you, and it's really good to be with you. You can reach me, again, live during this program at davidduke.com, and just press the contact button and the info button or the email button, and you can send me an email directly. Right now, our email address, and it changes from time to time, is info44@davidduke.com. That's info44@davidduke.com. This shop right now is extremely crowded, and it's part of it is because of the great coffee they make here, and they give you free refills. So once you have a cup, you can have all the cups you want. But it's also crowded because it's full of people in here with their laptops. I'm looking around me. There's at least 15, 18, maybe 20 laptops connected up to the wireless internet here. We have a new revolution going on in this country, and that's the internet and wireless internet. It's literally going everywhere. In the New Orleans area now, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of places that have free internet access. So people can get on the internet, as I have a little headset on right now. They can make phone calls free around the world. They can communicate. They can send instant letters. They can look up any sort of geographic source. Since I have it all on my laptop, obviously, I can go, and I'm working on my books right now, and if I go into the I can go right to the Library of Congress and check out a reference about the publication of a book and who is the author and who was where it was published and all the other needed bibliographical information on a particular publication. I can look up many magazine articles online, obviously. In fact, many of the major ones you can get online with a direct text without even having to go to the library and look up in the Periodical Guide of Literature. And most libraries, of course, only handle a few magazines. So you have to order those publications, and you usually get a very poor Xerox copy. With the internet, you can go online, and you can get lots of material, you know, immediately. Of course, there is a lot of garbage in the internet, and there's a lot of rumors and lies and misinformation of all sorts and all types. You know, I realize these kind of things are supposed to come from our from the supremacist enemies that we have. I just don't quite understand it when they come from some of our side. Sometimes it's purposeful. I think sometimes it's simply a matter of idiocy on our part. I've been reading a lot. I'm getting more emails. The other day I was reading emails that the federal government was actually going in and blowing up the levees down in New Orleans. There are levels of insanity, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you can take conspiracy so far. You know, I do believe that there's some very evil forces in the world, no question about it. I think international Zionism, but I even don't like to use the word, quote, conspiracy, because it has such a connotation of these dark rooms and candles and all the rest, when it's really quite explainable. It's just basically a tribal interest, a tribal strategy. The Jewish supremacists have a tribal strategy. They have a supremacist strategy. And that's the main article, I think, that I'm using. I've got two articles, one on the destruction of New Orleans and what this portends for the country and what this process revealed to us, and also have an article primarily on Rabbi Shmuley, which I think is an extremely revealing article about how Jewish supremacism works and how the whole supremacist movement among the Jews is a hypocritical movement. I mean, here's Rabbi Shmuley, and I've talked about this a few times, but boy, this should be talked about again and again and again while we have the chance. Shmuley is an individual who supports the radical, most radical position of Israel. He supports he was opposed to the removing of the 6,000 to 8,000Jewish settlers who were illegally in Gaza, in the Palestinian territory of Gaza. And these settlements are all segregated. Israel is a segregated nation. It is segregated schools, segregated housing developments, segregated apartments. I mean, it's just segregated at every level, and they don't even allow intermarriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. It's not legally recognized. When it comes to immigration to Israel, of course, immigration is limited only to Jews. And I guess there's a few Jews that are sometimes allowed to work, and in some cases a tiny number, and a few converts. But overall, the most important criteria to be an immigrant to Israel is the fact that you're of Jewish blood. That far exceeds any religious value. Only a tiny number come in just because they say that they're Jewish religious, and usually they're some sort of spouse of a Jew. But the truth is that overwhelming numbers of Jews come in who are not religious at all, who in fact are atheists. anti-religious in many ways, but if they can show that they're of Jewish descent, no matter how far back, they're allowed to come in and get huge financial awards. Hate to say it, but many of these awards are paid for and provided for the European American taxpayers and other individuals who are, have been financing this process around the world for a long time. All right, I'm going to go to some emails and also going to take some questions. So please, if you have don't forget to go to stormfront.org, the town hall section, and post your questions, your thoughts, your ideas. I'm available for you online, and of course we have an archive version as well, which will be online very shortly after this program is completed. So let's go to some of the emails I've got here, and I've got a few. Okay, here's one, and I'm going to start also the process to load down some download some more emails that are coming in. Yeah, we've got a couple more. All right, here's one from Nick. He says, "Hello, Dr. Duke. I first wanted to congratulate you on your great accomplishment of receiving your doctorate degree. One day I'd like to earn such a truly respectable title as you have. I can only hope that I will be focused and determined as you have been. I'm 19 years old and currently in college myself. I only wish I could study at a place like MAUP, which is the university system in Ukraine." And he goes on to say, "I thought I would share something I found rather humorous with you. I was in the very laughable political science section of a local bookstore when I came across a book called 100 People Who Are Screwing Up America. I'm not sure you've seen the book, but it was written by a man named Bernard Goldberg. As I was browsing through it, I noticed number 66, David Duke. He poked fun at the notion of Russia being the key to white survival and rambled on about how you were a former Klansman, Jew-hating, Israel-hating, racist, and so forth. You know, it's just the same litany of hypocritical nonsense and blatantly disregards factual reality. Michael Moore was the number one man screwing up America, according to this Jew. Ha ha, I found that quite ironic because, if anything, Moore is actually helping the Bush administration, which was apparent Zionism must be a fan of by means of distraction. I don't know if, anyways, this keeps up the good work. And the way I'd respond to you, Nick, is that I don't know if Michael Moore is helping the Bush administration, but I think there's a lot of distraction or disorientation or misdirection, you might say, in the movie Fahrenheit 9/11. In fact, I liked the movie. It was an entertaining movie. It was an interesting movie, funny in many ways. But you know, the whole movie was about how the Bush is in bed with the Saudis and the Saudis did 9/11. I mean, you know, just ridiculous. Didn't talk about very little about the Jewish issue, about Israel, about that role in bringing on this terrible attack that we suffered here in the United States of America. And the guy has said some decent things once in a while about the Palestinian question, but again, he avoids and runs away from the critical issues, kind of the same way that Ms. Sheehan ran away from the critical issue of Israel. She stated it in a letter for sure to Nightline. There's no doubt about that. But she caved in with the Jewish pressure pretty fast. I don't blame her as much as I would a Michael Moore or someone like that, because she's just a simple woman, you know, a mother who lost her boy in this insane war. And you can't, a person who never did much any media before or those kind of things like that, you can't expect them necessarily to you can't expect them to be a great speaker, to have very much courage. And well, when the media starts breathing down their neck, sometimes they're just kind of looking for shelter. They're looking, you know, they might say anything. But but Michael Moore. But I am in that book by Bernard Goldberg. I talked about it in one of my broadcasts a while back, and it's kind of an interesting book. And what you say is so true. All they do basically is throw invective at you. I read another story the other day. It was on the SPLC website, and they referred to me as neo-Nazi David Duke. Well, what in the hell does that mean? You know, I mean, it's I guess anybody who objects to Israel, anybody that says maybe there's different ways to look at the Second World War, is called now a neo-Nazi. You know, there's no evidence whatsoever that, you know, I'm a member of any Nazi party or supporting any Nazi principles. even though certainly I do believe in the heritage of our race, and I do believe that the Second World War was a great mistake for European mankind, and all those things. To label someone specifically of that party, who may not be of that party, is just a simple attack. It's an ad hominem attack to try to discredit someone instead of dealing with facts. And as you know, if anybody listens to my program and reads my website, knows that I deal in facts. I deal with ideas, and what I say is logical. And if a person really reads what I say, they realize I'm not some wild-eyed, raving lunatic, that I'm speaking about things that make sense. And I back up what I say with reason, and I think intelligence, and it's... But that's why they've got to throw in these kind of just vicious attacks and these labels that they throw on people. Now, I don't know whether or not Russia's the key to white survival. I did say at one point that Russia may be the key to white survival, and the fact that it's a huge nation with a huge white population that's relatively unmixed, and it's got a huge amount of resources, and that the Russian people have been showing a lot of strength in resisting the Jewish supremacists, although they have a tremendous power in Russia as well. But I think it's only been a leader like Putin that has even dared to do some things against the Jewish leadership. And there's hardly been any other leaders that have even dared to lift their eyebrows at any of the most atrocious and incredibly ridiculous things that some of the Jewish supremacists have done. By the way, I want to say something to you. I got a letter here from an individual who placed an order. He hadn't got it yet. One thing that I'm doing right now is trying to get the everything taken care of. And he said he placed an order, in August for a book, end of August book and video. They haven't got it yet. And again, we're trying to get everything straightened out. The storm hit exactly 24 hours after we got our shipment of DVDs, and the post office was closed for evacuation. So we've been pretty stuck, but over the last few days we have mailed most of the DVDs now. And if you don't get your orders, again, let us know, and we'll certainly make sure that everything gets taken care of and it gets filled timely. And I hope my goal is to have all the orders caught up completely within the next 48 hours. All orders completely. Now imagine we have a couple back orders because we've not been able to get any books in either. Mail service has been spotty, but things are now picking up, and people can now make orders. If you've been waiting because of the storm and because of our interruption to make an internet order of either Jewish Supremacism, My Awakening, or the great, incredible DVDs of the International Conference, now's the time to do it. Also, I want to say something else to people. I take a look at all the emails that come in. I mean, I took a very quick look, because I go in depth in most of these things that I find interesting. But I look at every email. And whenever there's a problem, if somebody is in my office, in fact, handles it, I see the problem. Now, sometimes someone will write me an email. They'll use the info, box at davidduke.com, and they'll send me an email saying I didn't get my order, and they're just using their email address. They're not even using their name. They're not putting their address. They're not putting their telephone number. And there's so I don't even know who necessarily they are accurately. They'll sign like the first name. So if you do email me directly about an order you didn't receive or something that went wrong, please give me your name, your address, your phone number, complete information, and the exact nature of your order, what you ordered exactly, and we can check our records and get that out to you right away. And if there's some problem in terms of being lost in the mail, we'll get that corrected to you, because we know when we mailed everything, we know when we received the order, so we can go in and correct that very rapidly for you. And we're very, very sorry again for any delays that we've face. We just kind of got our office running well when we had this catastrophe with the hurricane. And we still have a lot of work to do. I think one of these days a few of our friends will come around, and we'll get a kind of a little carpentry party, and we'll get this house repaired and ready again. But thanks so much. And by the way, one more thing. I also get some emails, and usually they're AOL customers. And they're nice people, and they're supporters, and they write me about something or some issue or some problem or problem in the order or something, and then I hit a reply to them, and it doesn't go back. It says this place is not accept unsolicited emails, because some people, of course, only take emails from people. AOL has this policy in some ways. Emails from people who are prior approved by the email recipient. This is to keep down spam. Well, obviously, if you email me and you're expecting a response, and then I email you back, it's pretty frustrating, because I hate to go to the trouble of going ahead and writing a letter to someone. And sometimes I spend some time, write a letter, do some responses, and then send it off, and then I get a letter. Well, the address, you know, this is returned to me because AOL has a situation, you're not on their approved list or whatever. You know, that, so please, if you do email me, make sure that you have a working and a functioning email box that I can reply to you and respond to you, and you'll be able to read the letter. All right, and I would ask you to do that, you know, very, very sincerely. Okay, this is from, he's got a story. I just got another email about the supposing bombing of the, they got so much, you know, of the levees. You know, it's, this is a good example of the kind of post that I'm hearing. September 29, 2005, here we go again. The New World Order hackers took down my link again to the proof posted here showing that the storms are being manipulated by the USA-owned and operated satellite lasers. So I'll repost it again for about the fifth time. Wow, there is sure someone that does not want you to see this. With all the activity lately regarding weather manipulation and the numerous cover stories, misinformation, it seems to be the one thing the boys in black do not want you to see. They're working overtime behind the scenes to keep me off many radio shows as guests and to keep the following link down. So here it is. Proof of laser satellite storm manipulation. I mean, yeah, boy, you can say anything, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and look, the same thing goes for what I write and what I say, and the fact that, you know, I tell new people this all the time, it kind of shocks them. I says, don't believe anything I say. But take what I say, think about it, read about it, research out the documentation, the citations, the references that I use. You know, do that. And then see if it might make sense to you, and if it fits into your reason and to your knowledge, and if my citations and my quotations, because I quote a lot of major sources. I don't, you know, anybody can put a number of citations down as some sort of obscure thing, you know, XXX says so-and-so at the 21st of January 1942, and you get 1,000 of those. But when I quote presidents of the United States, when I quote major leaders, and I quote major opinion shapers, say people like Richard Perle or Paul Wolfowitz or people like this, and talk about it. When I talk about, you know, AP and UPI stories, for instance, quoting the head of the one of the generals in charge of Israeli intelligence, talking about how that the Israelis provided a lot of the false information about 9/11. When I do this kind of thing, it I think it has a lot more substantiality. But you know, but I tell you, there's so many strange things going on out there. That's an interesting story. This is from Freedom Nova, and it says Australians do patriotic duty, birth rate up. Treasurer Pete Costello urged Australians to do the patriotic duty and have more children, but it seems they were doing it anyway just for fun. A new study suggests. So that's a nice little bright note in the European world that our people are having some kids. We need a lot more. This is interesting. This is from Ed. He says, I know you don't recognize my name, but I've met you several times at North Shore as well as Metro. Actually, I do recognize your name, Ed, and I'm not going to talk about your last name here. First, I'd like to say that I admire your courage and dedication to informing the public of the wrongs of modern-day America. The blatant racism that's practiced and enforced by the media, our government, minorities, against European Americans, as well as the constant attacks on our culture, which we have every right to preserve and shouldn't be ashamed to do so. When I read the article to which I have linked below, the first thread that popped up when I read it popped into my mind was to share this with you. Written by Reverend Jesse Peterson, a black man is not seen pulling his punches about the post-Katrina events in New Orleans. It's a must read. Also, you know my wife well. She's Dr. Klukin's nurse. She loves your dog. let's see. She wants to get one just like you have. We have a spoiled cat, though, that won't permit a dog around the house. Anyway, thank you, Ed, and appreciate your support. It's nice to hear from you again, and we just keep going along here. Okay, we got one from Nick. All right. Leo. All right, hello. Keep up the good work, Neil. You know, we've gone over time, and of course, I'm still in the midst of a tremendous amount of work here. We hope to be on time tomorrow. I'm hoping the internet will work in the office tomorrow. It certainly didn't work. It worked today for a while, and then 2 hours before I'm to go on, it didn't work. But they're definitely making a lot of progress in the area here. We now have power, and I hope to get the program back on a normal basis. I think that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you being with me, and I'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow. And until then, all I can tell you is God bless and take care, and let's get this information out to the American people. You know, I'm looking over. I just did a lot of work in editing. I took the Rabbi Shmuley article, and I refined it a great deal for the David Duke Report. And now it's going to be ready to go to press and also put it back on the internet in a refined version. I think this is a fantastic and powerful article, and you can get the Rabbi Shmuley article right now on the internet on davidduke.com. So I hope that you take it, use it, and let's get it out there to the public. I think it's one of the most revealing articles that will expose the hypocrisies and the destructiveness of Jewish supremacism that I've ever written, and that perhaps almost anybody's ever written. The facts are just so perfect for us. I mean, here's this Jewish supremacist, big supporter, radical supporter of Israel, going out and trying to forcibly integrate the white neighborhoods, trying to get white people in Utah to integrate their neighborhoods. Yet he supports a state of apartheid in Israel. I mean, it's a traditional and perfect example of the absolute hypocrisy going on among Jewish supremacism. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, God bless you and take care of yourself.
This is David Duke. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.